Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When flustered one morning, why did Jane put some stockings on the end of her vacuum cleaner? The answer to that at the end of the show. My name's Tom Scott, and this is Lateral. Welcome and thank you for listening to Lateral. Your download means that we are one step closer to our goal of beating the Relaxing White Noise podcast in the charts. Although, when I read out the questions on the show, I often hear hissing noises too. Let's meet our guests. It is the return of all the team from Let's Learn Everything. We'll start today with Ella Hubba.
What's up, Tom Scott?
God. Normally I ask a question at this point, don't I? Normally I tee you up with something, I just said your name.
But now we ask you a question.
This is the last one we're recording in this block, and there is, as there always seems to be when you're around, this kind of just chaotic end of term energy. That's what I said last time, I'm saying it again now. It's going to be one of those shows. Tom Lum there, chiming in.
How are you, Tom? How are things?
Holding it together. I saw a thing the other day that said, you know, how are you? It's like, absolutely terrible, but for the purposes of this conversation, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm delighted to be here.
I'm like, I got called a kiss ass last time for being nice. What's this?
Sorry.
In the very last words said on the show, I did my outro and there was just a quiet kiss ass that came at the end. Please welcome someone who is making defiantly sure they're not a kiss ass, Caroline Roper.
Hello there.
How are you doing, Caroline?
I'm doing so great compared to everybody else, apparently, so can't complain.
All right, well, it has been a while since you're on the show. Your show is Let's Learn Everything. Let's see what you've learned since then.
Yeah.
Good luck to all three of you. And for those concerned by Tom Lum's enthusiastic performances on Lateral before, please be assured that we do have our usual oxygen tent and resus unit on standby. Let's see if we can...
Oh, he's gone.
You can tell when it goes echoey and he's away from the mic. Like, I appreciate the professionalism of not clipping the mic by yelling directly into it.
Oh, I would destroy this. I would obliterate the microphone.
Let's see if we can make it through question one safely, which goes like this. Thank you to Robert Rizak for sending this question in. In which sport can you cross the start line many times if you want, but can't cross the end line? I'll say that again. In which sport can you cross the start line many times if you want, but can't cross the end line?
I just want you to know my mental picture was like a 100-meter dash, but then when you said
just
you can't cross the end
line.
No. What I saw was when you said you can't cross the end line, a brick wall appeared at the end line and the person ran into it.
We've actually, I think, had that question on here before. And the answer for that is that it's certain types of swimming races, like relays, where you very much cross the start line, but actually the finish line is the wall of the pool. So you can't technically cross it.
Right.
In this case, it's not a swimming pool, and you can cross the start line many times if you want.
And is it just one person crossing the start line each time, or is it a team of people?
It's not a team sport.
If you can't cross the finish line, then how do we know when the thing is finished? That is what I'm thinking.
I'm still picturing the runner on the 100-meter line, and they run and they go, can I take that again? One more time. I'm just going to go back to the start. Can I go real quick? Okay. This one's better. It's like, nope, one more. I'm thinking of a wall of some kind, but also do we know if this is like an esoteric sport or if this is a regular, did you say Olympics?
You will all know this sport.
Okay. Time for some listing.
No.
This is not the bog snorkeling championships. This is not the cheese rolling down the hill. This is...
disappointing.
This is a legitimate sport with an international
cheese
federation.
Rolling is a legitimate sport.
Okay, I realized the minute I said legitimate sport. This is a It's the sort of sport that has an international federation and that sort of thing.
Okay, okay.
I guess that counts, sure.
Okay, you can cross the start many times.
So is it something that, like, you could maybe redo multiple times, but, like, you've got to pick your, like, preferred time only, and you can only pick one or something like that?
Cross the start many... Is it like a thing that doesn't have an end, like race car racing? Maybe you, like, technically you're across the start line.
That definitely has a finish line.
But if it's like a loop, then it's the start you're crossing.
Oh, I see. This finish line is the start line as well. No, because that's like, there's so many races that must have that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, is it a race? Do we know if it's a race?
Oh.
I never said it was a race.
Oh,
okay.
That's good.
I said it was a sport.
Yeah.
And it's not a team sport.
Start line. I'm thinking maybe like a shot put is not what I'm thinking. Something where there's like a line that you can't. But there's a start line and there is an end line.
Yes.
Are those just like the names for them maybe? So it's like, I'm trying to think like if they were like the net and the back line in tennis or something like that.
I'm thinking maybe something like a long jump or a triple jump where you have multiple goes crossing that line, but the end is technically no one's ever going to reach that.
Oh, yeah, there's no end.
There is an end, but it's too far.
And you only reach it when you're like exiting after you've done your jump or something. Yeah.
You don't cross the start line many times there. Like you're kind of rerunning when you're doing that.
Yeah.
You can cross the start line.
It's during the same round of sports that you're doing this over and over.
And you can cross the start line in either direction.
Oh,
Is it the classic game of bulldog in the school playground?
No. I'm putting a question mark on the end of that because you're thinking more along the right lines of what sort of contest
of
it is.
A bulldog?
No, it's not even close to that. But if you played the same version of bulldog that my school did, it's weirdly closer than any of the racing things you've mentioned.
I hate that I'm weirdly close. That's really annoying because I feel like that's made me even less sure.
Should I know what that is? Is that a regional thing?
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Does someone describe
bulldog for the Americans?
Well, the way we played bulldog was to stand in a line on either side. So you have line of kids on facing each other.
We called that Red Rover, I think.
Oh, and then you run at full force towards each other, trying to get through.
Good to know that's universal, just a different name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In like football, is there like a, like American football, like the end zone? I don't know. A start you can cross. Is it a physical line?
Yes, it is a physical line.
Okay.
And I think the key thing to take away from the bulldog reference is that they're facing each other.
Oh.
Fencing.
Tell me more.
Oh, doy! Am I correct that you start, you have like a starting line, but you can move back and forth around it?
Yep.
I don't know about the end line, though. Would that disqualify you?
Their line, the line on your opponent's side, you can't cross for some reason because it's too... It's off the grid, off the playing field.
Yep. So it's called a piste, the playing field. Uh-huh. The starting line is the on guard line, which is just far enough apart that the swords, épées, the pointy things can't touch. It's legal to move backwards and forwards across that on guard line as much as you want, but if you go over the end line at the end of the piste. By putting both feet behind it, if you've retreated too far, then your opponent gets the point.
Ah, that's clever.
I do wish you had phrased it at the start. It's like, you can cross the on guard line as many times as you want.
That would have made that
a little easier.
There is a reason I didn't say finish line, because it's not. It's the end of the piece to the end line.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Over to Tom Lum for the next question, whenever you're ready.
You can buy three similar drinks at a bar in the Philippines. The single shot of rum version costs 60 pesos, the double shot is 50 pesos, and the triple is 40 pesos. The type of rum and shot size is consistent. What is the reason for this? I'll say that again. You can buy three similar drinks at a bar in the Philippines. The single shot of rum version costs 60 pesos, the double shot is 50, and the triple is 40 pesos. The type of rum and shot size is consistent. What is the reason for this?
I have a really good guess, and I'm worried that I'm right, which is, sounds so cocky.
Here's the thing. So do I.
Oh, I'll start then. Is it the type of liquor?
Hey, hi, Caroline. How are you doing? What's up?
I was going to say, is it the type of mixer is the more expensive of the
That's
drink?
What I was going to say.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, we got
is
it.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You both really backed yourselves. I was really like, this can't be it, can it?
Do you know what drink it is?
We all successfully worked out the first bit, which is that the mixer's more expensive. It's a shot of rum and some more stuff. But as someone who doesn't drink, I'm probably not going to be that good at working out what this drink is.
Is there another alcohol in the drink?
There used to be a thing at a bar in York called the Hell Shot, which got banned by the local council as like a condition of them getting their liquor license renewed, because it was a shot of basically everything they wanted from behind the bar with a bit more absinthe poured on top. And it was not cheap. And it was just basically a lot of pure alcohol. And of course the students ordered it all the time on dares.
That sounds like the most student-y thing I've ever heard, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. That's a universal story, Tom, because I went to university in Sheffield, and in one of the clubs
there... Of course in Sheffield. No, there wasn't a slight on you for Sheffield. I mean, it was a slight on Sheffield. Like, of course
I take both offensively. But they had a quad vod drink, so four shots of vodka, and the council was like, you cannot do that anymore. Right. So they just did a triple with a shot on the side.
There were a lot of legends about it. I never actually saw anyone order one myself. And I didn't have sensible friends, so...
Tom Lum looks horrified over British drinking culture right now. It is horrifying.
I just love the creativity of the drink math. And I will say, I feel like now, at first I thought you guys might have had this right away, but now I will see. And also, the best part about this is the more creative drinks you come up with, the more bars that are listening can make these a thing. So if you come up with these lateral drinks, that's a great idea.
Actually, we still need to work out why this mixer is so expensive.
Yeah. Does it have like gold leaf in it or something?
Gold leaf.
Oh, that's Jägermeister, isn't it? Doesn't that have... Gold. There is a liquor with
there is one that
gold
does,
leaf.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Jägermeister. It's something else has gold leaf dissolved in it.
Huh. Is it like a champagne or something really annoying like that?
It's like a spritz with a...
I'll let you guys be creative for a bit because you got a head start the first part of this.
All right. Is it like, you know, some crushed up rhino horn or something?
Is it an alcoholic drink that somebody who does drink might drink a bit more regularly, or is it something a bit more obscure?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're asking us to name every substance, we can try that.
We can go there. That's fine.
Oh, Tom Scott's joined the list side now that the tables have turned. I don't want to give too much away, but yes, you will all have heard of this drink.
Ooh.
Rum.
I don't drink a lot of rum-based cocktails.
No.
So I'm going to find this tough.
It can't be rum and Coke, because I can't see Coke ever being that expensive.
Is it rum and Coke?
Like, even if you're trying to import the proper Coke that has sugar instead of... Okay, if you're thinking about cocaine now, then that's very different, but...
That's where my brain was going with that one, but...
Maybe it's that the mix, it's a really common drink, but the mixer is really hard to get into the Philippines. It's illegal, or...
Oh.
Or it's a very high cost of importing it.
Ooh.
Oh, that's such a good point. So is it like a more high percentage like spirit of some sort?
No, it isn't. In fact, it's a 0%. And you guys, if you piece together all your answers, you've said it.
Coke is really expensive to get into the Philippines.
It sure is.
That's crazy.
What?
How expensive?
So,
or rum is really cheap.
It's a combination of both.
Both? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can order a glass of rum and Coke containing 1, 2, or 3 shots of rum. However, Coca-Cola is a relatively expensive import and costs more than the rum itself.
Oh,
as the single rum and Coke only contains 1 shot of rum, the rest of the glass has to be filled with cola, the more expensive ingredient.
That's really interesting. Wow.
When you said champagne, Caroline, I was like, yes, the champagne of sodas.
Good luck, folks. Next question. Jackie's car had traveled a total of 122,667 miles over its long life. Having waited for this exact moment, she did something to the car that would give amusement some days later. What did she do and why? I'll say that again. Jackie's car had traveled a total of 122,667 miles. Pens and paper coming out now.
Yep.
Over its long life. Having waited for this exact moment, she did something to the car that would give amusement some days later. What did she do and why?
Upside down, it smells boobies.
Two episodes in a row.
And they flipped the car upside down so that it would be.
Could you just say the number again, Tom?
122,667.
Yeah, it's not like 420666 or something fun, you know. I assume it has to do with the number that, I mean, obviously this isn't the question.
Or it could be a total, but it could be a total, it could be a, something completely, well, did we know the make of the car?
Make of the car doesn't matter.
Okay.
All my brain is giving me right now is that they stuck googly eyes on in some capacity to make your face, and I can't move past that, so I have to say it out loud just to get it out there, you know?
Isn't Roman numerals again, is it? Because I can't go through
this
that.
This isn't Roman numerals. This isn't like the last one. This is not Roman numerals, I promise you.
It saved us a few minutes of frantically trying.
Although I am now trying to think of any car manufacturer that I can spell out with Roman numerals. I can't quite find one.
But also, this isn't the final number because the final number is going to happen in a few days' time.
Oh,
yeah.
For God's sake. Sorry, the producer has just yelled Civic at me. Thank you. Yes. That's...
God, your team. Wow.
Fast.
Big props to the team.
10 out of 10. So what's coming up? So what?
Yeah, is the number, is she going to change the number itself is important.
Is it a reference to something?
Is it a reference to a date?
The first thing my brain goes to with like mileage counts is the scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Where they think about like going in reverse.
Back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was like a reference to that or something.
It's not a reference to that, but you are thinking along sort of the right lines.
And this is the only time in this car's mileage that it could possibly be. It's not like, oh, it's going to have 69 on the end of it. Ha ha ha, funny.
Ha 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 ha.
Ha ha ha.
It's the only time that you could do this.
100, 1, 2, 2. 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Keep talking.
7.
No.
8. No, that's 9. Can you rephrase the question? Keep thinking out loud about that.
It just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
No, it's a sequence of numbers that is funny.
And did you say that they put something on the car to make it amusing?
No, they did something to the car.
They did something to the car.
So, Tom, you've basically got it. What do you do at 122667 if you want to line that up?
You drive a certain amount of numbers to make it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Mm-hmm. A little bit of arithmetic. If anyone wants to do some quick maths on this, can figure out the difference between them.
No, I don't. No.
Okay, given... I will be your calculator for you, because you've basically got it. And I'll tell you the difference...
It drove 789 miles?
Is 789 miles. Exactly right. Which means in total you get...
123,456. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And underneath it?
And underneath it?
789! Whoa!
Okay, that did not deserve that level.
Because they drove 789 miles.
Tom, you've got it. You reset the trip counter at 122667, and you will line up for 123456789.0. You will get the full sequence. Ella, over to you for the next question.
The candelabra tree is a species of screw palm that grows in tropical parts of Africa. Why might a farmer be delighted to find it growing on their land? I'll say that again. The candelabra tree is a species of screw palm that grows in tropical parts of Africa. Why might a farmer be delighted to find it growing on their land?
Is it something about like how fertile the soil is? So it has to be like really good quality to be able to grow that?
Soil is kind of something.
Does it mean that they have soil, like, full stop?
They have soil.
Yeah.
I think all trees need soil.
It only grows in just ideal conditions. It's just the perfect... It's a complete jerk of a tree. It's the equivalent of that houseplant you've got that requires exactly the right amount of water all the time.
I'm looking at that houseplant now. Yeah, yeah, I know that feeling.
And meanwhile, I'm, of course, looking out at my candelabra tree. It's doing pretty good. Wow. Another foot it grew. Wow, that's amazing.
Nah, Tom, I know you don't have a candelabra tree because you wouldn't be here.
New York City, baby. It's concrete and pigeons. Is there something with the candelabra tree? Are you giving me a hint? Is that what's happening?
Maybe.
Okay. So,
is there a hint in the name? Is there like a, because it's a very distinctive name. Okay.
Yeah. Is there something about the tree that makes the tree very valuable? So like they could go and sell like the leaves or the fruits or something like that.
Yeah, that was my second thought. Yeah.
But if you did that, you'd farm it.
Yeah.
Like if it was that valuable, you'd just take some cuttings, plant some more.
Could this be like a near extinct species or something like that?
There's a reward for it from the botanists' society.
Can it, if you take cuttings off the tree and put it into the soil or like dead leaves or something like that, does that then increase the fertility of the soil around it?
I'm going to say the tree has no special properties itself.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, it can be used for some medicinal purposes, but that's not anything to do with why you would want to see this tree.
Is there like a regional law or something related to this, like you, or I guess, I forget, someone said if there was like a reward or something for finding this tree. Is it native to this area?
A superstition, some luck.
It's very real. What it's very real. The delight that seeing this tree would bring is a real tangible thing.
It's not a superstitious thing. It's a this will actually cause a benefit.
Yes,
but they find it growing.
Is it very small? Very big? I guess you said nothing special about the tree necessarily. The property.
No.
Is it the mode of seed transport that's important? So like the animal or the like.
Oh, is it? Yeah, like a civet coffee kind of situation going on, maybe with the soil. You said soil was a hint, so
it means that it's been transferred by some interesting animal or valuable animal that you now know is in your area.
No, you did valuable. That's a good word, But
interesting.
It's nothing to do with animals.
Its sap is pure gold. No,
Wait, Ella's eyebrows.
I shouldn't. My facial expressions are giving things away. I need to cover my face.
Is it like about where it grows? The soil, it grows where there is.
Is it about the sap in some capacity?
No, it's the tree. No. Nothing special about the tree. Okay. Tom, you're on it. It's the soil.
It's valuable, or it's.
It is not valuable.
Or it grows over something valuable? Is it likely to grow over minerals or.
Yeah, Tom.
Is it like those trees where truffles grow underneath them or something like that?
You are on the right lines.
Oh.
It thrives in a very particular type of soil.
Does it replace like nitrogen or things like that into the soil?
No.
No.
I can't think of anything more than truffle. Is it something like artificial, like minerals and gold? Like actually? Like is it actually gold?
It's not gold.
Diamonds?
It's a way of telling that there's some mineral underneath that you might be able to mine.
Oh!
Yes.
It only grows where... Right, so you wouldn't plant it just all over your land because...
Because then you can't see it, yeah.
But randomly, there might be...
So is it diamonds? Does that mean there's going to be diamonds below it?
Yep. Wow. The candelabra tree indicates the possible presence of diamonds.
Wow.
That's really cool.
So it thrives on sites containing the igneous rock kimberlite, which is the result of volcanic eruptions. And volcanic eruptions push diamonds hundreds of miles up to the Earth's surface. So the tree is indicating that that land contains diamonds.
That's so cool.
Okay, here we go. Victoria was on her bike in Spain when a German cyclist forced her to ride along the Côte d'Azur, somewhere she didn't want to be. After stopping a couple of times, the German woman had left upset, while Victoria was very happy. Why? I'll say that again. Victoria was on her bike in Spain when a German cyclist forced her to ride along the Côte d'Azur, somewhere she didn't want to be. After stopping a couple of times, the German woman had left upset, while Victoria was very happy. Why?
Was there something to find on this route? And Victoria got very successful in finding it, and the other woman was like really annoyed that she didn't have any luck.
I feel like there's significance to the fact that the woman is German.
Oh.
That doesn't feel...
In Spain also, I don't know if these areas...
Do we know the nationality of the first woman? Does that matter?
It doesn't matter to the question, but I do... But we do know the nationality.
Okay. But the nationality of the German woman was important for some reason.
So, and I'm trying to think what the bike has to do. It makes me think there's something to reach or something to travel very quickly. There's something to cross. Maybe it could be like a border crossing. But also the other woman was there to be annoyed at this. So I'm trying to wonder, like, what was there a race? But, and also, like, she didn't want to go.
What's it called? The Côte
d'Azur.
Sure. Is this... I don't know anything about this area of the world, unfortunately.
No.
So the German woman warned Victoria not to, or...
Forced her to ride along the Côte d'Azur.
Victoria didn't want to go there, yeah.
But they were on a tandem bicycle, so they have to go together.
I made a face like, huh?
Oh, is that it?
It was just such a wonderful image. Imagine the person behind you just being like, you gotta go, keep going. It's like, no.
Did Victoria not want to go there because it was unsafe for some reason?
Yeah, that was a...
It's not unsafe, but it's somewhere you definitely don't want to go.
Reputation-wise? Like, you wouldn't want to be seen there for some reason?
Was the German woman, like, playing a trick or genuinely trying to help? And Victoria was happy at the end.
Was Victoria happy at them because she was proved right?
Yes.
About it being bad.
Yep, Victoria was in the right.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
Did Victoria like take a tumble and then was like very smug on the way back, like, told you so?
No.
This is interesting.
But there is that sort of thing going on here.
Yeah.
They were chased away from the area due to anti-German sentiment. I don't know what I'm saying.
I will say that the Côte d'Azur is not the famous one in France.
Well, you said it's in Spain.
I did say it's in Spain.
Wait, so the German woman thought that she was going to the famous Côte d'Azur in France and then realised that that's not where they were?
Oh, no, they both knew exactly what was going on. I'm just saying that when I say Côte d'Azur, it's not the one in France.
Okay.
Was there something unsavory on display in some way that the German woman didn't realise she was going to see?
Not in this case, no.
Oh.
Neither of them were really going very far.
Oh.
I'm picturing it in my mind. You must go on this path. Oh, I don't want to. Something happens. Ha ha ha, I'm happy.
Right.
Oh, and I'm upset.
Your mind's eye picture is almost certainly wrong because this is a very trickily phrased question.
Oh, okay. Could you?
All right.
No, it's one of these. Okay. Could you do it again? That might help us.
Yes. Let's focus on the words.
Victoria was on her bike in Spain when a German cyclist forced her to ride along the Côte d'Azur, somewhere she didn't want to be. After stopping a couple of times, the German woman had left upset, while Victoria was very happy. Why?
feel like that didn't help.
No.
Are they... They're on their bikes and they're riding them.
Yeah, I'll give you that much. That's definitely happening.
Okay.
Brilliant. Right.
Okay. There's not a word in this question that's a lie. It's just omitted a few things.
Is it like indoors or something? Could it be like a not a typical road?
Oh.
Is the Côte d'Azur maybe like a boat?
Oh.
Or like that?
So, no, unfortunately, plane? But indoor, definitely right on this.
Okay. Okay.
Your picture is missing one key fact about this. Why might they be cycling?
Could it be a racetrack?
It's a velodrome.
It's a velodrome.
Are they racing?
No
they
way. Are
Did racing? This person say, like, you should join in this race, and then they ended up crushing them?
Oh, not quite.
Did she come second?
Not quite.
And Victoria came first?
I'll give you the situation again. Victoria was on her bike in Spain when a German cyclist forced her to ride along the Côte d'Azur, the blue coast, the Azure coast. Why didn't she want to be there? And why might she have been happy at the end?
Is she famous?
Yes. Victoria is Victoria Pendleton, the noted British cyclist.
Oh.
Did Victoria like show up the person and take all the attention away or something like that, maybe? Or it was like no, I don't want a bike. But then when they did, was it like a relay or something? Was it a biking competition?
What's on a cycling track? Have a think about the velodrome.
It's curved banks. It's making curves. Mm-hmm. Was Victoria in the race at all? Or was she?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So was the German woman.
Okay. So they're both in the race. Did they knock the other person over or something? Did they bump on a...
Did she push her into a certain part of the track that she didn't want to be in?
Oh.
Yep.
Did she take up a lane so then she had to be on the outside lane or something like that?
I think you're close enough on this one. I think I'm going to give you that. The Côte d'Azur is the lowest part of the track, the blue part, where you are not allowed to go. It's the out-of-bounds area. So now you've got that connection. What happened?
So,
she forced her onto the out-of-bounds area.
And then she got disqualified or something? Because that wasn't allowed.
And the German woman was disqualified because she clashed into Victoria, pushed her onto the no-go area, and after an investigation...
Oh my gosh, forced her onto...
Victoria got the gold medal, and the German woman was disqualified.
Right. Nice. That's good. That was a well-worded question.
That was a well-worded question. Real...
Wow.
Wow.
Caroline, over to you for the next one.
Let's do it. This question has been sent in by Arwid. Eccentric Chinese warlord Zhang Zongchang displayed his fearlessness by sitting in his own coffin and smoking a cigar. What resource problem did he have when he promoted his entire army, and how was it solved? I'll say that one more time. The eccentric Chinese warlord Zhang Zongchang displayed his fearlessness by sitting in his own coffin and smoking a cigar. What resource problem did he have when he promoted his entire army, and how was it solved?
He didn't have enough cigars for right. them to smoke in the coffins. They're all like, we're doing that too. That was badass.
That was banging. Let's have more of that.
Yep.
Okay. Resource problem. Every word of that, Caroline, was not what I was expecting the next
Wasn't
one
it
to
a
be.
Delightful one? Thank you so much, Arwid, for that question.
How does smoking in your coffin as an eccentric warlord solve this resource problem?
Sorry, he promoted his entire army.
His entire army, yes.
And just to be clear, this is promoted in the terms of increasing their rank and not just giving them some advertising.
It is in terms of increasing their rank, yes.
That he didn't have enough medals for them?
Rank pips, stripes, something like that.
Ella, you're spot on. Yeah. So yeah, it is because they didn't have enough medals.
Okay.
To be promoted, what does that have to do with smoking in a coffin? That's relevant, right, I assume?
That's such a good question, Tom.
Oh.
Was that just a cool fact that you wanted to tell us?
So the resource problem is the medal.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
What could possibly be used to replace that? Or what could be used to fill in that gap in the resources?
Gold coins? Chocolate coins?
Coffin linings.
No, a more sensible suggestion than chocolate coins, Ella.
How many cigars you have, you can smoke, is your rank.
You just get one of those cigar cutters and cut the cigar into many, many circles. And...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. This might be too eccentric, but could they, like, burn you with the cigar?
Oh, maybe no. Like a rank? I'm horrified and in love with that suggestion.
they're eccentric. And they're an eccentric warlord.
Is it to do with the coffin stuff then?
The coffin stuff is less relevant.
The cigar stuff, on the other hand.
the number of cigars in your lapel.
No.
How can you make medals or make something that stands in for a medal using a cigar or using a lighter or using something that will leave you with a thing you can give out as a medal?
Is it a physical thing, or did they just, like, trust each other? They're like, he's so cool, I trust him to know. He probably knows. Look at him, he's in his own coffin.
They definitely were not trusting each other here. Okay. They needed those medals.
Wait, so they got the medals?
Did they steal the medals from, like, graves or something?
Dead people. No, once again, it's not dead people.
Why do I say it in such an excited voice? Dead people.
Yay, dead people. Yay.
Occasionally on the show, people come up with taglines by accident. And lateral, it's not dead people. Isn't that the same thing?
Want that shirt. Medals.
I feel like I've pulled my weight in this question. Tom's get in there.
Wait a minute. How big was this army? Is this like four people or is this...
No, it was a considerably sized army.
And he's got to give all of them
Could
a medal.
There have been like a... Is this something like violent happening is the answer, or is it more on the like resource management answer?
It's like nobody was getting like stabbed or killed or maimed or marked in any way. Tom, get the branding thing out of your head for this one.
Okay, because I was thinking maybe you just like kill like a bunch of the people, then you have enough medals.
But it's just a resource thing.
Oh
yeah, the issue was probably that they weren't killing people here. Just throwing that curveball in.
What?
Sorry, is the answer dead people in that he just killed some of the army?
No. Once again, no.
Tom,
dead
stop
people
trying to steal my answer.
Is it
So cigarettes were pretty commonly smoked among his armies.
Is it like what you could smoke determined your rank?
Oh, yeah. Cigars could be...
No.
Okay.
Oh, that's a really good suggestion.
Did cigarette packets used to come with something that could be used as a medal? Like the...
Oh my God, the foil from cigarette packets?
Yeah.
They use that to make medals. Oh my God, they have foil medals.
Yeah, you are absolutely spot on there. Well done, Ella. Pulling the weight of everybody.
I know. My chocolate coin medal thing wasn't that far off, right?
I had to put it down because you got the first part of it so quickly that it was like, no, we can't have this. We've got to... But yeah, you are absolutely spot on. They ran out of rank stars or medals, because every time that Zhang Zongchang defeated a rival, he would absorb the troops of that rival into his own ranks, allowing them to keep his ranks. But in order to like prevent rebellion from his own soldiers, everybody in his army would get promoted.
Okay.
Meaning that they didn't have enough of these medals or stars. And because smoking was so prevalent among Chinese soldiers, they used the silver and gold paper inside of cigarettes to make these stars, basically.
Oh, dear.
This is a really fun fact. Many of the officers would notice that their rank, their prize, their medal would not even survive until the end of the promotion ceremony. So because it was made out of these really thin papers, it would disintegrate.
The last part of the show then. At the top, I asked, when flustered one morning, why did Jane put some stockings on the end of her vacuum cleaner? I will also translate this as tights, for those of us who use stockings as a word for different things. Pantyhose, if you're North American. Any quick guesses from the panel?
Should we like all say it in unison?
Oh, you all got this. Is this?
Yeah.
I feel like
Wait, I don't know.
Am what I? Do you mean you don't know? Surely you know.
Is it to gather the dust, to collect the dust at the end of the
what? Surely you want that to go into the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, but lateral.
But if you didn't want something to go into a vacuum cleaner, Tom, but you wanted to use the vacuum cleaner anyway, you might do this.
Oh, it's to like scare a cat or something?
Oh,
you're doing your job. You're doing my job for me, Ella. Thank you. Caroline, Ella, tap it home.
It's to find her keys or something like that.
To find something like jewelry or something that she's lost so it gets stuck into the pantyhose tights, yep, stockings without getting sucked into the vacuum.
We have contact lens as being the thing that would be best to find that way. Yes, right. That's absolutely right. Congratulations to all our players. Thank you very much, as ever, to the Let's Learn Everything team. I mean, good luck. I'm just not that chaos rain. Plug your stuff. Good luck.
Yes.
Welcome
chaos.
To Let's Learn Everything, the show where we learn anything and everything interesting. You can come listen to our show. We are as chaotic as this, but we also cover real science stuff and also silly stuff. We have covered topics as complex as how CRISPR could be used to help climate change, and as simple as just how much we love pigeons.
Oh, I love pigeons. Wait, no, Tom Scott's giving us the floor to just do a whole podcast. That was what
and
I was saying.
Yeah. That's our show for today. Well done, everyone. If you want to know more about this show, you can do that at lateralcast.com, where you can send in your own idea for questions. You can find us at lateralcast basically everywhere, and there are regular video highlights at youtube.com/lateralcast. With thanks to the team from Let's Learn Everything, who are Caroline Roper.
Whoop, whoop.
Ella Hubber.
It was so good to be here.
Tom Love.
Thank you so much.
Yay!
I'm feeling personally attacked by you being nice to him right now, Ella.
I'm Tom Scott, and that's been Lateral.